thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed or blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. I want to preach a message simply titled, Blessed. It's that time of year, as we approach Thanksgiving, that most folks, if they've got any sense, will reflect back on the blessings that they've had throughout the year and give thanks to God. I personally believe that it ought to be a practice, an everyday practice. And everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But one thing I notice, and we're all prone to this, is that we often focus a lot of our attention on material blessings that they're happy that they have. And certainly you ought to be thankful for your house, your car, your clothes, the food that you have. We ought to give thanks for those things. Every time we eat a meal, we ought to offer thanks to God. But very few people in our world, I'm afraid, think upon the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. And as believers, this should especially hit home with us. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And because of that, we ought to reflect on how blessed we are in Jesus Christ. Now, the blessedness described in our text is worth more to a saint of God than all the material possessions that the world could possibly offer. In fact, Jesus said this about salvation and those who possess it and have it as a reality. He said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You realize that if you're saved by the grace of God, you have more than all that the world could ever give. You have something more valuable, eternal, and blessed than all the money and possessions and luxuries that men lust after. You see, true blessedness, according to our text, includes being chosen of God, called of God, having the privilege to fellowship with God, to be satisfied with coming into His house and worshiping God. And all of those things really are pretty foreign to the mind of someone who isn't saved, who hasn't experienced the blessedness of being translated out of darkness into light. May God stir our hearts to offer up thanksgiving for the blessings that are outlined in our passage of Scripture. If you're lost today, there's room for you. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. I would urge you today, if you're not saved, look outside of yourself. You're not good enough to get to heaven. You don't have what it takes. You aren't as perfect as Jesus Christ. Simply today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and all that that entails. Turning from your sin and trusting in what Christ did. This is true blessedness. This is where peace is found. This is where grace is found, in Jesus Christ and in the power of His death, burial, His resurrection, His ascension, His intercession. Christ is for me and in me. Which is why I have more than the world could ever hope to offer me. Bill Gates, he's a pauper compared to me. He ain't got nothing on me. LeBron James, he ain't got nothing on me. I'm going to heaven. I've been forgiven. I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, my Lord, the someone who loved me so much, He was willing to die on account of my sins. Now there's no greater friend or lover of a soul than Jesus Christ to lay down His life for His friends. That's real blessedness. And I'm so glad that He saved my soul. So I urge you in the strongest possible terms today, if even right now, maybe God is working in you and you have a desire. You're saying to yourself, you know what? I want to know Christ more than anything else in the world. I want to know Him. I want to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I can guarantee you, He saves sinners. In fact, He saves the worst of sinners. You're looking at one of them. And it's a remarkable, amazing life to know Jesus Christ. And to be able to pillow your head, go to bed at night, not worrying at all whether you're going to die. When I go to bed tonight, Gavin, I'm not worried. I know the Lord. If I die in my sleep, my body is going to be lifeless, but I'll be in the presence of God. I believe that because it's true. It's in the Word. I have eternal life. I'm blessed. Now let's look at the outline of our text here. The first thing He says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. I think it's significant to note that it doesn't say blessed is the man that chooses God. But rather, blessed is the man that God chooses. Now, when the Lord dealt with me in grace, don't get me wrong. When He brought me to life, I wanted to know Jesus Christ. I ran to Him. I wanted Him more than anything else in the world. But you know where all those desires came from? God's eternal counsel. God's eternal purpose. The day that He gave me grace to answer the call, whosoever will let him come and drink of the water of life freely, I know that before the world began, I know that now, God purposed for that day, that time, that precise moment to bring me to faith in Jesus Christ. God doesn't do anything haphazardly. There are no accidents with God. The day that I was saved, the Lord didn't announced to heaven. Can you believe that? Tom Roth? Who would have ever thought he would have ever been saved? No. When I was saved, the angels of God erupted into rejoicing and probably said, according to thy will. God has a purpose. Nothing surprises God because He does everything on purpose. God chose me. When nobody would have chosen me. As sinful as I was, He knew about it all. Jesus said in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So many modern day quote unquote Christians will fight and fuss and argue about the doctrine of election, God's sovereign choice. And they never see the blessedness of being chosen by God. In fact, a lot of preachers are scared to death to mention this. Oh, what's going on? If I preach this, what are they going to do? Well, hopefully they're going to say, this is in the Bible. I mean, that's the way I approach this. This ain't something new. Baptists have been preaching this for 2,000 years. And how our hearts ought to rejoice in knowing that before the world began, God chose a great number in Christ that included me. He chose them to be saved according to the good pleasure of His own will, not because of anything He saw in us. It was an unconditional election. You say, well, I want to see where it's in the Bible. I'm so glad. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I'll quote it for you. But you should eyeball it if you doubt me. According as He hath chosen us in Christ Jesus. Who's the He? God the Father. You know what Paul told the Thessalonian believers? He said in 1 Thessalonians 1:4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. God is the one that does the choosing. You believe that? Well, now, if you believe the Bible, you have to believe it. Because it says it right there in black and white in Ephesians 1:4 and in 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Not only is election by God, it is God's eternal choice. He chose me before the foundation of the world, before anything was, before time, space, or matter ever came into existence. You say, well, where's that in the Bible? Well, Revelation 13:8 and 17:8 says that He wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, which I quoted the first part of, according as He hath chosen us in Him, when? Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That's Bible. It's right there. We're blessed to be chosen before the world began. You say, well, that's the only place it's found. It's not. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. Again, I'm blessed to know that God loves me with an everlasting love. That He chose me according to His own purpose and according to His own good pleasure. And somebody says, well, why would God choose you? Well, I ask that all the time. That's the real question. Some people say, why didn't God choose everybody? To me, that's a simple answer. Nobody deserves it. Everybody deserves to be damned, condemned because of their sins. The real question is, why would God choose anybody? That's what I marvel at, and to think that He's done multitudes. You say, could He have chosen me? Absolutely. There's a reason why you're under the hearing of the Word of God. Why you're where you at? Where you at? got twisted there. There's a purpose in all of it. The family you're born into, the preaching that you're under, God has a purpose. He works everything after the counsel of His own will. Now, I'm blessed to be chosen by God before the foundation of the world unto salvation. See, election is not salvation. It's God's purpose regarding salvation. But salvation is something that happens in time. Election happened before the world began. And I can't enter into the decrees of God. I can't open it up and say, oh, yeah, there's Josh Ross. Yeah, I'll preach to him. See, I don't have that ability. That's why I preach the gospel to everybody. Because I'm commanded to. I have a burden for people. I want to see people saved. So what I do is I preach to everybody. But election is unto salvation. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And boy, this is a good one. In fact, you ought to memorize this. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, election is before the world began. Salvation happens in time when you experience the grace of God. Election is unconditional. It's not based on anything that in you. If somebody says, yeah, I believe that, God looked down in the future and He saw who would be good. And He saw who would who would have faith and do everything that they need to do to be saved. What kind of election is that? I don't have anything to offer God in and of myself. He didn't see any good in me. You read Romans 3, there's none good, no, not one. In fact, God chose me in spite of what He knew about me. He knew how rotten I was going to be. He knew all of my sins before I ever committed them. And in spite of that, He loved me with an everlasting love. I tell you, this ought to move you to worship God. See, it's based upon His free love and grace. And it's the fountainhead of other blessings. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Can you not rejoice in knowing that you've been chosen by the most important and holy person in all the universe? I don't know how they operate orphanages anymore. But it used to be kids that'd be in an orphanage and some person would come there and desire to adopt a child. And people would say, you know, wow, that's a worthy thing. That's really honorable that someone would choose to adopt someone that's not even part of their family and bring them into their family, give them their name, provide all of their needs, clothe. It's a beauty of adoption. And I think in the old days you could say, I'm looking for a boy. Or I'm looking for a little girl. But you know, God chose somebody as unlovable as me. With all of my flaws. With all of my sins. That's why I will never charge God with being unfair. He's gracious beyond compare. To love somebody like me. Because I know me. I know me better than you. I don't deserve to be saved. I deserve to suffer in the lake of fire, in the deepest part of it. But God determined to save me. And I'll give Him all the praise and all the glory. I thank God. And you know, Jesus did the same thing. He told the disciples, look over to Luke chapter 10. I often think of this. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Jesus thanks God for His electing grace. He told the disciples in John 10 verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. So today, I agree with the psalmist. I'm blessed. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest. But it doesn't stop there. The next part of that verse says, and causest to approach unto thee. Now think about what he's saying there. God's eternal election is not salvation. It is the purpose and cause of our salvation. But it's not salvation. In fact, God's election alone can't save anybody. Because sinful man must be brought into a right relationship with God if they are going to be saved and delivered from their sins. The language of our text is so powerful. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Well, for 21 years of my life, I had no desire to approach God. I wasn't seeking after God. In fact, the total opposite is true. I was running away from God, running from His law, running from His government. I was a rebel. I was blind. I was lame. I was unwilling. I was unable. Like Jesus said, except the Father, no man cometh unto the Father. No man cometh to God except the Father draw him. I wasn't looking for God. He caused me. He intervened. He moved in my life. He brought me out of darkness into light, into the kingdom of His dear Son. Lost men don't approach God. But God, by His grace, draws and calls us out of a state of darkness, out of deadness, out of ignorance, into a state of light and life in Jesus Christ. And He does it by His mighty power. It's invincible power. I've told you this so many times. The days leading up to when I was saved, I was as rebellious as you could be. I had no thought of trusting Christ. I was convicted of my sin. I was concerned about my soul. But I wasn't going to trust Christ until the day that He saved me. He caused me to approach unto Him. He's the one that removed everything and made a way. And it was so powerful, I looked Greg Rittenhouse right in the eye and I said, I want to be saved right now. He said, Greg, I need to be saved. He said, I've been telling you that. It was like he was disgusted with me, you idiot. I've been telling you this for months. I said, no man, you don't. I want to be saved right now. I want to trust Christ right now. More than anything else in the world, I want to be done with my sin. How did that come about? God caused me to repent and believe. Like I've told you, I'm not somebody special. He didn't say, hey, Tom, it's me, God. Today's the day I want you to be saved. I didn't hear an audible voice. The earth didn't quake. The heavens didn't open. There were no lightning strikes. I can't say that I had an overwhelming rush of emotions. I just was brought to the place of faith in Christ. That's how God works. He's the cause of everyone who's ever been saved. God is the ultimate cause. He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He made me willing in the day of His power. I had been unwilling, And that day He made me willing. Changed my life forever. And He'll change your life. To me, one of the greatest examples of how God does this is somebody like Saul of Tarsus. Now, he would later be known and identified as Paul, the Apostle. But before he was saved, he was a religious rascal. He despised Jesus Christ. He was right there when people were taking off their outer garments and laying them at His feet so that they would have better leverage to throw rocks at Stephen when he was preaching the gospel. He saw Stephen die. Saul of Tarsus wanted to arrest people who were followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, the day he was saved, he's on the road to Damascus. His mind, his will, his heart, his affections are set upon persecuting God's people. That day God changed everything in his life. That day God, read it for yourself in the book of Acts. This guy whose will was bent on persecuting the followers of Christ, all of a sudden, by the power of God, he says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" How did that change come about? It was God. "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee." He brings us out of darkness. And He's made a way for us to approach Him. We were once separated from God by the mighty gulf of sin, but through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, now I have free access to God. He not only called me by His grace, but He revealed to me the only way that my sins could be forgiven in Jesus Christ. How do I approach God? How do I worship God? It's all through Jesus Christ. That's why faith in His name is preached for the remission of sins throughout all the world. Jesus said, "You want to know the way to God? It's so simple." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." I can approach God through Jesus Christ. Through His work on the cross. Through His sacrifice. Through His life. His merits. His resurrection. He changed me forever. And now I have the privilege of communing with God. Fellowshipping with God. So many blessings are opened up. The blessedness of being chosen and called is beyond our comprehension. Now let's look back. One more thing we want to note. Psalm 65:4. "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." There are benefits of being blessed. It says that we approach unto God and that we dwell, have the privilege of dwelling in His courts. The place where His glory resides. I now have the privilege of abiding in God's presence. I have the privilege of entering into the throne of grace at any moment of any day, at any time. God has said, call unto Me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I can freely approach God through Jesus Christ, pour out my heart to Him, and know that He hears me. He dwells in me, and I am abiding in Him. He added a tremendous blessing when He not only saved me, but He added me to His church. When He moved me to obey Him and submit myself for baptism administered by one of the Lord's churches. And now I have the distinct privilege of being able to worship in the church that Jesus started. I tell you, that's real blessedness. To have to be chosen, called, redeemed, and then have the privilege of being in the Lord's church with God's people, dwelling in His courts, being delighted with His worship in His presence. These are privileges that you should never underestimate. What a blessing. I am so happy to be saved and to be part of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church. I'm blessed. I wouldn't trade this life for anything. I hope today that you're blessed. I pray that you know that you're saved. That you've truly trusted Christ. And I pray that God will give you grace to be thankful each and every day for what He's done in your life. Blessed. Let's all stand.